Hello and a very warm welcome to On Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Nick Manise, filling in for Nolan Giles. Once Copenhagen's central train station and now a 17-auditorium cinema, Palads Theatre is best known for its pastel-coloured facade. However, the building's future is currently uncertain. It's been earmarked for demolition and a multi-story office and cinema planned as its replacement. Monocle's Gabriele Dallasanti gave us the lowdown on how this turn of events has led to a wider discussion on the use of public spaces in the city. Take it away, Gabriele.
If you were to ask Copenhageners what they thought about Palads Theatre, this pastel-coloured, eye-catching cinema located in the heart of the city, just a stone's throw from Arne Jacobsen's iconic SAS Royal Hotel, they will likely describe it as a quirky, fun and charming building, a site that has, for years, made up a unique and special part of the cityscape. The building dates back just over a century and was the city's former train station. Yet, as demand grew and passenger numbers increased, a new and bigger station was built close by, and Palads went on to become Scandinavia's biggest entertainment center at the time, counting roughly 3,000 seats and space for a 30-man orchestra. And after years of renovations and adjustments, the space turned into the 17-screen cinema it is today. It took its distinctive look in the 80s, when Danish artist Poul Gann coated the building's facade with a vivid mix of pastel-hued blues and pinks, turning the site from architectural landmark into a piece of art. Today, however, the building's future is under discussion. Located in a central yet poorly planned area of the city, where nearby train tracks are an eyesore and busy roads are often jammed with traffic, Palads might be replaced with what will become one of the city's tallest buildings, a massive glass multi-story complex mixing thousands of square meters of office space with a subterranean cinema. As expected, the proposed demolition attracted fierce criticism, with petitions signed by the thousands. The argument here does not only revolve around the building's replacement, but it focuses on a lack of discussions about the use and transformation of central public spaces. To discuss the matter, I sat down with Martin Keiding, the editor-in-chief of Arkitekten, a monthly title published by the Danish Association of Architects. He explains how the building's private ownership allowed investors to avoid a public competition for its replacement, a move, he says, that undermines the area's transformation and its potential, and how the discussion has become key in debating Copenhagen's future.
This is an old building built in 1930, 1920. And it's built on the edge of a rail track that goes all the way through Copenhagen. This is an open track for rail. So there's a huge area in the urban context that would be possible to use for other purposes because it's docked down. During a long period, it was painted white on the outside. And actually, when you study it and you look at the building, it's actually a very complex piece of architecture. If you look around and look on many examples of modern architecture, this modern building lacks this complexity. So it's a rather interesting building. My point of view in this case is it's a discussion about this existing building and the piece of art made by a Danish artist called Poul Gerns. And they should rethink the way that they develop the city because this is a private owner. And according to the rules in Denmark, a private owner can make a new project without making a competition. But if you're a public owner, you are obliged to make a competition. And the good idea about competition is that you would have an initial discussion about how to develop the city. And I think that this is a problem. How can we use that in the future? So it's not only about building a cinema building. No, it's about the whole urban area. And this is a political decision. You're not solving urban problem by doing what they actually are doing. They should rethink the city, sort of a more open process, and invite some more architects to discuss how do we build something upon it, maybe a public area.
I ask him why he thinks Palads is being torn down, something that might not be obvious for many, as it remains a perfectly functioning building and its colorful facade is intact. Martin tells me how years of private ownership and mismanagement of the building have left the site in a state of neglect.
The building is torn down. I can understand the developer, but I cannot understand the way of solving the problem. On one hand, they have a building that is completely worn out, and that is our own fault, actually. The huge cinema, central space, and with a beautiful access. But what is missing in this discussion is politicians, and they should ask the investor, why don't you rethink this?
He references, as an example, the 2008 Madrid Rio project, which saw highly congested areas alongside the Manzanares River transformed into green spaces for locals to spend time in, and tells me how the discussion surrounding the development of the area around Palace should follow a similar path.
Many of your listeners knows about Manzanares, intense traffic, cars on each side. The whole central area of Madrid was a bad place. And then politicians in Madrid, they decided to invest a lot of money and make a public competition, and they reinvented the whole area for public people. And so they made one of the best and most interesting developments. I think that this discussion should be about, not about the specific high-rise building, this should be about how politicians in a city think the city. How do we want to develop the city? One way of developing a city is to leave it to different private investors. Oh, but we will never get this discussion about how to develop the city. Maybe this building could be, as they did in Madrid, they left some of the old buildings. Another idea could be to think about Palace as a future cinema, maybe surrounded by open-air cinemas. We don't want to go into the buildings these days.
I ask him where he sees the debate going, how the area should be transformed if the city were to launch a public competition for the site, where architects and urban planners would be able to discuss the site's future.
There's a group of people fighting a lot to save this building as a piece of very important architecture, actually. But there's not so much about what I'm talking about, actually how to develop the city, which I think is actually very important and needed specifically for that place. So why not build a park? People are looking for outside areas, and there's a lack of it. Even in the future, there will be even more interest in open, public, accessible spaces. And this is a very interesting place to consider that possibility. There's a search for open, free space, not private space, where you can sort of establish going together. And I think that it will become more and more important in the city. This is simply an opportunity. You could find other areas in Copenhagen, but not as central. This one is actually connected with the H.C. Ørstedsparken. There is an opportunity to make a central, public, accessible space. It's about rethinking this whole area, which I'm missing. Some of these architects, possibility to imagine together with the politicians, because we missed so many possibilities there.
As the demolition is yet to be greenlit and the area's future remains uncertain, Palace keeps representing what is probably Copenhagen's best-known cinema, attracting a steady number of visitors as lockdown measures are eased. Whether a few years down the line, the site will accommodate a flashy high-rise or will be transformed into a leafy park is yet to be decided. But for now, from Monocle in Copenhagen, I'm Gabriele De Lisanti.
My thanks to Gabriele De Lisanti there for that report. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program airing on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time. I'm Nick Manise. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.